Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Namaste Narasimhaya. Prahlada Fada Dayane. Hiranya Kashipu Vakshaha. Shila Tangana Kalaye. Ito Narsingha, Parato Narsingha. Yato Yato Yamitato Narsingha. Vahi Narsingha, Hridaye Narsingha. Nrsingham Adim Sharanam Prapadye. Tavakara Kamalavare Nakam Adbhuta Sringam Dalita Hiranyakashipu Tanubringam. Keshavadrita Narahari Rupa Jai Jagadisha Hare. Jai Jagadisha Hare. Jai Jagadisha Hare. Keshavadrita Narahari Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Jaya Jagadisha, Jaya Jagadisha, Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. First, I will recite two mantras which will help us to understand who is Lord Shiva, according to the conclusion of the Vedic scriptures. Nimna ganang yatha ganga, devanang achyuto yatha, vaishnavanang yatha shambhu, puranam idam tatha. So, in the final chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, Suta Goswami is finishing is preaching to the sages of Naimisharanya. The Srimad Bhagavatam opened with Suta Goswami being asked six questions by the sages of Naimisharanya. And the final chapter, Sutta Goswami is finishing up. He says, just as Ganga is the greatest of all rivers, people in the West know Ganga as the Ganges, but her real name is Ganga. Just as Ganga is the greatest of all rivers, Lord Achyuta, supreme among deities. Achyuta means Krishna, the infallible one. Lord Shambhu, or Shiva, is the greatest of Vaishnavas. Vaishnava means a follower, a devotee, a surrendered soul to Lord Vishnu, God himself. And so Srimad Bhagavatam is the greatest of all Puranas. Vyasadeva compiled, or we can say edited, the original Veda into four divisions. Vyasadeva then compiled 108 Upanishads, and he also compiled 18 Puranas. Six Puranas for persons in the mode of ignorance, six Puranas for people in the mode of passion, and six Puranas for those in the mode of goodness. But here, Sutta Goswami is pointing out, Srimad Bhagavatam is the greatest of all the Puranas. Now we come to this very strong statement by Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is the chief engineer of the universe. Creator is actually Narayan. He is actually God himself is the actual creator. But the engineer of the universal construction, that is Lord Brahma. So we have only one chapter of his book, the Brahma Samhita. There were 100 chapters, but nobody knows where they are. One chapter was discovered by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in South India. In 2008, I went to that temple, and one of the servants at that temple showed me this is the exact spot where Lord Chaitanya found the Brahma Samhita, only the fifth chapter. Shirang yathada divikara vishesha yogat sanjayate nahitata prithagasti hetu yat shambhutam apitata samupaiti karyad. Together. Govindamari purusham tamahang bhajami. One more time. Govindamari purusham tamahang. One more time. Govindamari purusham tamahang bhajami. So this verse, Lord Brahma says, just as milk is transformed into curd by the action of acids, but yet the effect curd is neither the same as nor different from its cause, namely milk, so I adore the primeval Lord Govinda. Everybody say that name, please. Of whom the state of Shambhu is a transformation for the performance of the work of destruction. So the statement of Lord Brahma can be considered conclusive because Lord Brahma is considered the most intelligent person in the universe. Our bodies are made of mostly water, earth, fire, but primarily we have water. Lord Brahma's body is mostly intelligence. He has a form, he has a material form, but that form is chiefly intelligence. Okay, we interrupt this exciting class because there is a black Toyota Corolla with the license plate J. Baladeva blocking the Tulsi Garden in the parking lot. Right away, please remove your vehicle. We need access. Thank you, Hare Krishna. So if your car is J. Baladeva, please do the needful. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Lord Brahma has gotten his post because for 100 births, he has perfectly executed the rules and regulations of that particular life without any mistake. And so he has been awarded that position. If you like, you can become Lord Brahma. It's up to you. So his opinion can be considered as final. So this statement that Lord Shiva or Shambhu is simultaneously one and different from that of God himself, Krishna or Vishnu. Those of you who know, yogurt is milk, but it's not. Milk is milk, yogurt is yogurt. But yogurt is milk. A conundrum. But that's how we are to see this greatest of the devotees, Lord Shiva. He is not exactly in the same category as God. And he's not a living entity like you and me. He's in between. He's in between God and living entities like us. He's in his own unique category or tattva. Therefore, we offer him all respect. So now, there is some more information from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which will describe a particular facet of Lord Shambhu Shiva. So this is Kashyapa, the great Prajapati Kashyapa. He is speaking to his wife Diti one time. He says, Lord Shiva is the king of ghosts. Sitting on the back of his bull carrier, he travels at sunset, when the sun is setting. And he is accompanied by ghosts who follow him for their welfare. Lord Shiva's body is reddish, but he is unstained, although he is covered with ashes. His hair is dusty from the whirlwind dust of the burning crematorium. He is the younger brother of your husband, and he sees with three eyes. Lord Shiva regards no one as his relative, yet there is no one who is not connected with him. He does not regard anyone as very favorable or abominable. And we respectfully worship the remnants of his foodstuffs and vow to accept whatever is rejected by him. Although no one in this material world is equal to or greater than Lord Shiva, and although his unimpeachable character is followed by great souls to dismantle the mass of nescience, he nevertheless remains as if a devil to give salvation to all devotees of the Lord. Unfortunate, foolish persons, not knowing that he is engaged in his own self, laugh at him. Such foolish persons engage in maintaining the body, which is eatable by dogs, with dresses, ornaments, garlands, and ointments. Demigods like Lord Brahma also follow the religious rites observed by him. He is the controller of the material energy, which causes the creation of the material world. He is great, and therefore his devilish characteristics are simply imitation. So that is how Kashyapa was explaining to his wife Diti something about Lord Shiva. Now, this next excerpt, also from Srimad Bhagavatam, deals with Lord Shiva's wife or consort. In this particular, you could say, incarnation, she is known as Sati. And there was a dispute because Sati's father was the great Prajapati Daksha. And he had some envy, jealousy of Lord Shiva. And he made it known verbally in a public assembly. So that whole episode did not end well because Goddess Sati at one point considered that I have gotten this body from you, my father, Daksha, but because you are envious of my husband, the greatest of all devotees, I no longer want to be associated with you. So she immolated herself. She gave up that body. So when she was, as we say, telling on his face, just before she immolated, she spoke these words to her father. Lord Shiva is the most beloved of all living entities. He has no rival. No one is very dear to him. No one is his enemy. And no one but you, my dear father, could be envious of such a universal being who is free from all enmity. O twice-born Daksha, a man like you can simply find fault in the qualities of others. Lord Shiva, however, not only finds no faults with other qualities, but if someone has a little good quality, he magnifies it greatly. Unfortunately, you have found fault with such a great soul. It is not wonderful for persons who have accepted this transient material body to be the self, that they are engaging always in deriding great souls. Such envy on the part of materialistic persons is very good, because that is the way they fall down. They are diminished by the dust of the feet of great personalities. My dear father, you are committing the greatest offense, envying Lord Shiva, whose very name consisting of two syllables, please repeat, Shiva, purifies one of all sinful activities. You can thank me later. You've just been purified. His order is never neglected. Lord Shiva is always pure, and no one but you envies him. You are envious of Lord Shiva, who is the friend of all living entities within the three worlds. For the common man, he fulfills all desires. And because of their engagement in thinking of his lotus feet, he also blesses higher personalities who are seeking after transcendental bliss. Do you think that greater, more respectable personalities than you, such as Lord Brahma, do not know this inauspicious person who goes under the name of Lord Shiva. He associates with demons in the crematorium. His locks of hair are scattered all over his body. He is garlanded with human skulls and smeared with ashes from the crematorium. But in spite of all these inauspicious qualities, great personalities like Brahma honor him by accepting the flowers offered to his lotus feet and placing them with great respect on their heads. If one hears an irresponsible person blaspheming the master and controller of religion, one should block one's ears and go away if unable to punish the offender. But if one is able to kill, then one should by force cut out the blasphemer's tongue and kill the offender. And after that, one should give up one's own life. Therefore, I shall no longer bear this unworthy body, which has been received from you, for you have blasphemed Lord Shiva. If someone has taken food which is poisonous, the best treatment is to vomit. It is better to execute one's own occupational duty than to criticize others. Elevated transcendentalists may sometimes forego the rules and regulations of the Vedas, since they do not need to follow them. Just as demigods travel in space, whereas ordinary men travel on the surface of the earth. In the Vedas, there are directions for two kinds of activities. Activities for those who are attached to material enjoyment, and activities for those who are materially detached. In consideration of these two kinds of activities, there are two kinds of people who have different symptoms. If one wants to see two kinds of activities in the same person, that is contradictory. But both kinds of activities may be neglected by a person who is transcendentally situated. My dear father, the opulence we possess is impossible for either you or your flatterers to even imagine. For persons who engage in fruitive activities by performing great sacrifices are concerned with satisfying their bodily necessities by eating foodstuff offered as a sacrifice. We, however, can exhibit our opulences simply by desiring to do so. This can be achieved only by great personalities who are renounced, self-realized souls. You are an offender at the lotus feet of Lord Shiva, and unfortunately, I have a body produced from yours. I am very much ashamed of our bodily relationship, and I condemn myself because my body is contaminated by a relationship with a person who is an offender at the lotus feet of the greatest personality. Because of our family relationship, when Lord Shiva addresses me as Dakshayani, I at once become morose, and my jolliness and my smile at once disappear. I feel very much sorry that my body, which is just like a bag, has been produced by you. I shall therefore give it up. So Sati, who is actually Durga, she has given some very good transcendental information, if you were listening carefully. But I could not end today's lecture without some words from Lord Shiva himself. So let's hear from the lotus lips of Shambhu, and we will glean much. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra with me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So what he says here, what happened was, after the incident where Sati's father blasphemed Lord Shiva in a public arena sacrifice, Lord Shiva went back to his abode. But after some time, there was another sacrifice. And Sati was seeing all the demigods and their wives nicely decorated and dressed. They were coming in their airplanes. Now, she was not invited by her father to the sacrifice. But she wanted to go because she was seeing all the other demigods and their wives, they were all going. So she wanted to go. And Lord Shiva, this was his response, because she was asking permission. So what did Lord Shiva say? My dear beautiful wife. So that's how you address your wife. Follow in the footsteps of the great acharyas. My dear beautiful wife, you have said that one may go to a friend's house without being invited, and this is true, provided such a friend does not find fault with the guest because of bodily identification and thereby become angry. So this point here by Lord Shiva, bodily identification. This is the root of all problems. Once we become free from bodily identification, you will no longer have any problems. This is the cause of all the problems in the world, which is why in the Bhagavad Gita, what was the first instruction Krishna told Arjuna? You're not your body. It's the first lesson of transcendental knowledge. And if you study Prabhupada's lectures over and over and over again, he also talks about that topic, how we are spirit soul, how we are the eternal servant of Krishna, and we're not this body. That all begins from there. Although the six qualities, education, austerity, wealth, beauty, youth, and heritage, are for the highly elevated, one who is proud of possessing them becomes blind and thus loses one's good sense. And that's why, as Vaishnavas, devotees, Lord Chaitanya instructs us on this point, that always around the neck we should be carrying this mantra, Trinadapi Sunichena Toror Iva Sahishnuna Amanina Managena Kirtaniya Sadahari. The instruction is this mantra is to be worn around the neck for constant remembrance, that I must always, always, always present myself and think myself meek and humble. I have to be so tolerant, more tolerant than the tree. Would you like to be a tree on the East Coast right now? How it has to tolerate so much. And even here in California, we get drought. The tree is starving for water, but the tree tolerates. Lord Chaitanya gives that meditation. Sometimes people say, do you guys do meditation? Yes, tree meditation. We meditate on the tree. And Lord Chaitanya says, give respect to all living entities because Krishna is in everyone's heart. Vancha kaupatrubhyashta kripa sindubhyaye bhacha patitanang bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. And then Lord Chaitanya says, then don't be concerned about getting respect and worship and honor and people noticing you. Don't worry. If you can do this, you can easily always chant the holy name. Let's do it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Lord Shiva continues, such a blind person cannot appreciate the glories of great personalities. One should not go to anyone's house, even on the consideration of being a relative or friend, when that person is disturbed in mind and looks upon the guest with raised eyebrows and angry eyes. If one is hurt by the arrows of an enemy, one is not as aggrieved as when cut by the unkind words of a relative, for such grief continues to rend one's heart day and night. My dear white-complexioned wife, it is clear that of the many daughters of Daksha, you are the pet. Yet you will not be honored at his house because of your being my wife. Rather, you will be sorry that you are connected with me. One who is conducted by false ego and who is thus always distressed, both mentally and sensually, cannot tolerate the opulence of self-realized persons, being unable to rise to the standard of self-realization. One envies such persons as much as demons envy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. My dear young wife, certainly friends and relatives offer mutual greetings by standing up, welcoming one another, and offering obeisances. Ah, this is very instructive. Listen to this. I forgot that this was in this section. So Lord Shiva is saying, yes, friends and relatives offer mutual greetings. You stand up, you welcome, or you offer obeisances. But those who are elevated to the transcendental platform, being intelligent, offer such respects to the super soul who is sitting within the body, not to the person who identifies with the body. I read this every year, and still every year, it is so, so wonderful to hear what Lord Shiva is saying. That he's not offering respects to the soul, the person who thinks they are the body, but rather Krishna in the heart. This is beautiful. Here's just one example why he is the greatest of the Vaishnavas. He has that transcendental vision. Oh, here is another one. This one's great. Now I know why I picked this section. Listen to this. Lord Shiva says, I am always engaged in offering obeisances to Lord Vasudeva. Can you all say that name?
Vasudeva.
In pure Krishna consciousness. Just see what Lord Shiva himself is saying. He's saying, I am always offering obeisances to Krishna. Because Vasudev is Krishna. And in pure Krishna consciousness, pure Krishna consciousness means no material consideration. Pure love. Lord Shiva is meditating and offering obeisances without any thought of what he wants to get in return. No. He's simply doing it out of love. In which the Supreme Person, okay, Krishna consciousness, he says, Krishna consciousness is always pure consciousness, in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Vasudeva, can we all say?
Vasudeva.
Is revealed without any covering. So he's seeing. He is seeing Krishna. Yes, Krishna's in the heart. But how come I can't see? I can't see him. Even if they take the thing that looks inside. Yeah, one time I had to get some tests done. And so they were showing me, see here, I was lying on my back. And they said, here's your heart. And they were showing me all these things. This is this, this and but I didn't see Super Soul. But in order to see Super Soul, I have to become like this. Pure Krishna consciousness, where Vasudeva is revealed without any covering. Therefore, okay, so now he gives the final words to his wife. Therefore, you should not see your father, although he is the giver of your body, because he and his followers are envious of me. Because of his envy, O most worshipful one, he has insulted me with cruel words, although I am innocent. But if in spite of this instruction, you decide to go, neglecting my words, the future will not be good for you. You are most respectable, and when you are insulted by your relative, this insult will immediately be equal to death. So he predicted what was going to happen. But Sati, she did not listen. She went anyway. And she, after she spoke those angry words to her father, she sat down, meditated, and her body burst into flames. So Lord Shiva, as we heard in the beginning, he is the greatest of the Vaishnavas. A Vaishnava is a follower of God. And in this day and age, the way to follow God is very easy. You don't have to do any work. You don't have to do a yoga pose. You don't have to speculate. You want to be a follower of God? All you have to do is have a tongue and two ears and chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Everybody. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. There's one description of Lord Shiva where he has five heads, and out of all those heads, he's chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So those five heads and Lord Shiva chanting, that is called surround sound. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it is very auspicious that we are doing this ceremony today since it's Ekadashi. So there is much spiritual benefit. And now we will proceed to the next part of the festival, and we will turn over to our head pujari, Rabindranath Dasa. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Take.
Thank you.
Jai. Here. Hare Krishna. You are very kind.